Hi everyone, welcome to another edition of the Svarim Chatter podcast. Actually, I believe this is number 30, so pretty big number, Baruch Hashem. For this episode, I'm going to do something a little different. Last episode was something a little different as well, where I went through a couple of new Svarim. For this one, I had a couple of suggestions from a number of people, and I thought it might be interesting as well to do is to pick one specific sefer, it's not new, and just to talk about an interesting sefer. And just, or no, there's interesting or not, but just to give a background, a little bit more background in depth on a specific sefer. So I figured that I pulled something off my shelf that to me has always been interesting, and I said that I thought I'll discuss that, and so this will be my shot at it. As usual, I thank you for everyone who gave me feedback for the last show. Same thing this one. If you're able to give feedback, email me, svarimchatter@gmail.com. Reach out on Twitter via publicly or direct message. Feel free to obviously subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and rate it on Apple. So the sefer that I'm going to be discussing today is called Shailos V'Tshuvos Torah L'Shma. Pretty well-known sefer. It's not exactly Shailos V'Tshuvos in the classical sense per se. It also could be Shailos V'Tshuvos like question and answers, but as well as Shailos V'Tshuvos. So this sefer, where to start is a good question. Originally, it was printed from manuscript in 1973. But I guess I'll back up a little bit. The sefer says each tshuva is signed by somebody written Yecheskel Kuchli. So Yecheskel, and then Kuchli is spelled Chaf Ches Lamed Yud. It's written as a Sfaradish sefer. Now, the interesting thing about the sefer is that there is a question as to who the author really was. Did somebody with this name Yecheskel Kuchli really exist? He claims that he started writing it in the year Tuf Mem Beis, which I believe is 1681-1682. And it's a large number. First of all, of Shailos V'Tshuvos, I believe the exact number is around the 500 or so. So it's a large number of these simanim. And it's on various, it's fascinating. I'll get to some examples later on. It's all over the place on, you know, various interesting topics, halacha, and just really thought-provoking, unique topics. And when we discuss who the author really was, I guess it'll make sense. So, the Sefer, when it was printed in 1973, it was published by Rabbi Rav David Chaim and Rebbe Yosef Kaduri, who was a grandson and a Talmud of the Ben Ish Chai. And the manuscript, I believe that one was from the Ben Ish Chai's own handwriting. And the Ben Ish Chai was the one who was the ma'atik. He was the one who was the copyist. And he claimed that he found it. And I'll actually read for you the Ben Ish Chai's actual introduction, because I think it's really interesting. I was going to get this later. I think I'll do it right now. I think it's very interesting, and I think it's worth hearing. So he says, Amar ha-ma'atik, Ayidei Neis, it was a Neis, and Nizdamen liyodi hachibar hazeh b'ksav yad yoshem. And this manuscript came into my hand, this old manuscript came into my hand miraculously. Vaksav ha-yakosh ha-likuris, and the writing was very hard to read. V'nodarti la-hatikoi bi-yodi la-seis chesedem ha-machaber zal. And I swore, in a neder, that I'm going to do chesed with the author, I'm going to copy it. Ki al-aroi v'loi hoya hetek achar chutz mizeh ba-olam. There was no other copy in the world except for this one. And he continues that he was going to be nether, going to make sure that there were other copies people could read, and there was a mitzvah to do it, etc. The thing is, and in the Hakdama, in the introduction of Rav David Chaim, the Ben Ish Chai's grandson, he says, well, guess what? The Ben Ish Chai was the author himself. There was no such person, Yecheskel Kuchli, and the Ben Ish Chai was the author. Now, that's very interesting. Okay, whoa, so step back. What happened here? Why did the Ben Ish Chai write this entire safer of question answers, and it's not him? So a couple of things. The new edition was published in 2013, Tavshinayin Gimel, by Hotzat Avat Shalom, which is Yeriakim Moshalel's publishing company. By the way, I've said this in other shows, I think they're like the number one publishing company today, but either way, they do a fantastic job. And there's a lengthy introduction in there. But before that, there's a small Divrei Psicha, which is written as well. And that is written by Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel himself. And so I'll start with that, just what he says. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Hillel himself says that he brings down, first of all, like I said, Rav David Chaim himself says that his grandfather was the author. As well as there seems to have been a Kabbalah amongst the Chachmei Baghdad and the Sfaradim that the Ben Ishchai was the author of this, and it went back that some they said they heard from the Ben Ishchai's son, Rabbi Yaakov, that he himself, Rabbi Yaakov, I probably said that too, Yeshivish, but that he was the author and not just the Me'atik, not just the copyist of this work. One of the biggest proofs for this is that Yecheskel, okay, is Bigamatria 156, and the Kuchli, which is the other one, is Bigamatria 68. So why is that interesting? Because Yecheskel is 156. Well, guess what? So is Yosef. Kuchli is 68. So is Chaim. So Yecheskel Kuchli, 156, 68, is the same exact gematria as Yosef Chaim. So the gematria is the same right away, and that can't be a fluke that you have the same exact gematria between Yosef Chaim, which is, number one, the first thing that is interesting. Number two, there's other proofs. Rebecca Mishalel brings that now they have the manuscript, that we have his exact manuscript that he copied it. And first of all, throughout the manuscript, it's riddled with crossouts and additions, and that's not usually something you find. Somebody copies an old Rishon, old Sefer, you don't usually start crossing out and adding in. That's something that someone that's the author of the Sefer would do, not someone that was a copyist. So that's number one. Number two, something else that's also interesting as well, is that now, Avashalom said, now is found the actual notebooks that he wrote this from. So what does that mean? Like I said at the outset, a lot of these are not really shailos v'tshuvos. They're really question answers on various interesting and unique topics. So what happened essentially was the Ben Ishchai would learn the sugyas, he would learn through Shas, and he would have interesting questions, unique questions based on the sugyas he was learning or based on the various circumstances that would come up. And he would jot them down, and over time, they became this Sefer shailos v'tshuvos. They mentioned furthermore in the Hakdama that there's actually a Sefer that they published, a manuscript. I think they called it Michta Melio. It was letters that he would write to his friend, Melio Suleiman Mani Zatzal, who was the Rav, chief rabbi of Hebron. And a lot of those questions that we know that he wrote to him, we have those manuscripts, are in here as well. So there's really, and there's a lot more overlap, and we'll get there. The other thing as well is, I should mention, I guess, here, there's been a lot of written on this. Rabbi Yaakov Mishalel, they said Ramir Mazuz, Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer, wrote about this. And they all say that it was the Ben Ishchai, that they bring in the Mavoi a couple of other, various other people that held that it was. There are some that held it wasn't him. I haven't done extensive research into this. Quickly looking up, it seems like Hamavadia may say, or he brings down the Shita, and that's in, I saw it was brought down, Yabi Omer Chilik Tess, or Chaim, I believe Tzadi Vav, but I have not checked that, so that's totally unreliable. I'm just what I saw. There's also been various studies done by some people I saw brought down as Levi Cooper, and I think Moshe Koppel. I'm not 100% familiar. You can Google this about how they use like computer analysis so to prove the similarities between the Ben Ishchai's own tshuvas and this work. But there's extensive proofs that I'm going to get to. Anyways, I just want to throw that out there as well. So as I said, this is stuff I'm not going to be doing this thoroughly, critically, academically. It's not writing a paper on this. I'm just doing a podcast on this because I thought this something. It's always struck me as a really unique sefer from when I found out about it. I mean, I knew about this, back when I was in Beis Medrash. So I don't know, 10 years ago more when I discovered this work. And to me, it's just something that's really interesting. And I feel that the general public, maybe you might enjoy hearing about it if you have not heard about this sefer before. And stam, even if you're not Sfaradi, the Ben Ishchai stuff is fascinating. It's real. I don't know why I always thought in my head like the Ben Ishchai Kabbalah. No, it's not. I mean, yeah, but not true. I mean, he's part of this. All sorts of various things in the Ben Ishchai, and really has fascinating Torah. That's not me giving him a scum on the Ben Ishchai, but I'm just stating. So, a couple of other things here as well, from the Ben Ishchai for here. So, one thing I want to mention is they don't really discuss why. Why did he write this? Not even anonymously, he attributed it to someone that lived in Tufmem well before him. I mean, the Ben Ishchai was 1836 to 1909, I believe. So this was well before the Ben Ishchai that he attributed this to. I mean, why did he do that? So I believe, I don't, it's in here, it says Torah Lishma, he wanted it to be Lishem Shemayim, Lishma, that no one would thought it's his covenant. The Ben Ishchai was writing it for himself. They don't really go into it, but it's obviously very interesting that he did that. So that's just something I want to point out. Now, the first part of this lengthy introduction actually was originally printed in Mikav Seal. Mikav Seal is a now, I think it's a defunct journal that Avad Shalom used to publish. Now they publish Minhag Nozim, fantastic journal. So they had published this article and then they expanded it inside of the new edition of Torah Lishma. So something in here that's discussed is that the Ben Ish Chai says, let's say, that it was printed in Tuf Mem Beis. That's when he started writing it. Now, they say, if you look inside, there are many, many works in here that are quoted. Now, a lot of those works were not published till after, so it's a problem. So what does the author do? Every time you find it, many, many times, it'll say, Ziksav Yad. He wrote, I found an Ksivas Yad. So footnote 23, it's page 14 of the introduction, the Avad Shalom edition, goes through a whole list. Ritva from Yevamis, Ritva on Baba Basa, Ritva on Yuma, Tshuva Mari Bruna, Meiri on Saita, Tshuva Sarid, the Hagoyza Ram Pap, or Meir Papa is not Eitz Chaim, Dazakein and Bali Taisvis, Tshuva Sariv, Shari Karbon on the Yerushalmi, Shit Mikabez on Brachis, Tshuva Marachar Saru. I'm just giving an extensive list. So, a few things. Why did they write? So, they're writing it down to tell you that who's going to really think? How could you think that in Baghdad, said, first of all, you should know in Baghdad, and they're going to prove that he lived in Baghdad from a different, but in Baghdad in that year, there wasn't in Baghdad very few people at that time, Stam, that really knew Sfarim and knew stuff. And more than that, somebody like this owned so many manuscripts, and they bring more, they proclaim more that in Baghdad there's been very few manuscripts. Stam, there wasn't a lot of kiss for the others. They bring the reasons why in Baghdad, in Iraq. And so this Machaber, this God living in Baghdad, he had tons and tons of manuscripts. And more than that, they said a lot of these manuscripts on one place, let's say the Meiri, like it's in Parma in Italy. That's all we know of. Various other ones. This Chacham in Baghdad, oh, he also had a copy, by the way. That's not really that Mastaber. To say that he had it. And more than that, nobody ever heard of him or his family, anybody. Wow, you could read this. Not only is this Talmud Chacham, he owned manuscripts, he knew manuscripts, he knew everything. I mean, who was he? How could that be? So first of all, it's pretty stark, right? I mean, who was he? Another thing that they bring down, really, really interesting, in Simon Ches, in the 8th Simon, he brings down, V'ayin oy l'mari korkis, I'll look in the Mari Korkis, b'chidushav ala ramba mehilchis mechsuri kapara, and found in there, hanim soyim b'ksavyat, that it's found in manuscript, V'loy nitfisu adayin. It was not published yet. Shehevyate sefta. Continue. Why does he say it wasn't printed yet? If it's a manuscript and you're quoting the manuscript, of course it wasn't printed yet. So they write here in the Mavoi. I think it's a David Davlitsky. I'm not sure. But they write here that, why? Because the Mari Korkis and the Rambam is the only one of all these Sfarim that was never printed at the time of the Ben Ish Chai. Mari Korkis on Hilchos Karbonos was printed in the Shapsi Frankel Rambam in Tovshin Samach Gimel, 2003. It wasn't printed until then. So he was writing V'loi Nitfesu Adai, and it wasn't printed yet, because even the Ben Ish Chai, when he was writing this at his time, it also hadn't been published yet. Then they go through a lengthy introduction about the Sefer quotes a lot of Shuvas Rosh, and it's not really the Rosh, it's some Rosh, the notorious, infamous forgery Sefer by Saul Berlin. And to that, they bring a number of things, a number of proofs, etc. But one that I thought was very cute was that the Petukah of Ben Ish Chai and his various farm talks about it. Is Shuvas Rosh, not Shuvas Rosh, he quotes it. They bring a whole, and it's footnote 27. They talk a lot about it. At the end, they say so. And sometimes he questions, you know, is it really the Rosh or not? So what do you mean? The Ben Ish Chai himself knew of this old author from a few years before, Becheskel Kuchli, and he quotes it as the Rosh, Shuvas Rosh. Why isn't that a good proof that it really was the Shuvas Rosh? They see, because it was the Ben Ish Chai writing at that point. He didn't know, whatever other reasons. Another reason, another place is he quotes Yerushalmi. It's Gilyan Ksavyad. Who is the Gilyan Ksavyad that he's quoting? That's the Karban Eda, the Shari Karban. So he's quoting another, you know, a Pirish that he had at that point as well. So that's another, that is another interesting thing as well for the Sefer. There's more proofs. They bring extensively many more proofs. A couple of other interesting things over here. They bring a proof that the Ben Ish Chai, let me find it. Sorry about that. They bring another proof over here in Simon Reish Samach Dalet. So that is 264. Is it very? It's another one of those. I want to free out a few interesting ones in here. So I'm going to bring this one. Misha Shem Imoy Mazel Tov. Somebody whose mother's name was Mazel Tov. This was a name. Used to be a common name. Not sure if it still is today, but Sfardim, I don't know. Im Yochel of Rocha Baburchas Mazel Tov. Can he give a Baruch of Mazel Tov? What's exactly the question? It says, and the minig of the city was that a woman, when she had a daughter, they would come in, all the ahuvim, akrevim, etzla, and each one would tell her, mazel tov. And he says, not only that, there was those two words. It was mazel tov. That's it. No more, nothing less. By a son, they would do more than that. So it says, are you allowed to say it or not? And he goes on a whole extension of tshuva. I believe he says, you are allowed to, because it's the intention is not to say her name, but it's to give her a bracha. But they bring two things on it. First of all, the Ben Ishchai's mother's name was Mazel Tov, so you could see his line of thought going through his head and saying, hey, would I be able to do this? It's hypothetical. That is one proof that they use it for. I believe there was another one. The other one was that it was the minig in Baghdad was this, that they, when a mother had a daughter, they would say Mazel Tov, and when it was also a... And the son, they would say something else. So you see clearly that this is one of the proofs that there's a whole section in the introduction saying that the author lived in Baghdad. A couple of other interesting ones that they bring also to see that you see a little bit proof that it's the Ben Ishchai in Simon Shin Pei Zayin, so 387. They bring another question. Somebody lived in another question that Becheskel Kuchli, the Baal Torah Lishma, asks, or the Ben Ishchai. Someone living in Chutz Laaretz, and he mechavev Eretz Yisrael harbi, loves Eretz Yisrael, and he has a real chayvev Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to buy a churba. He wants to. He buys a churba. He buys a rundown churva in Eretz Yisrael. He lives in Chutz Laaretz. So, but he doesn't want it to be a churva Eretz Yisrael. Chas v'shalom. So he wants to build it. He wants someone else to build it, even though he doesn't live there. And he asks someone Eitz Toiva, should he tell someone to buy it and to rent it out? Or should he plant trees to make it a garden? And he should have fruit. Which way is better? Or is it the same thing? And he has another question. And he goes on over here more. So they bring down that it was said on the Ben Ishchai, maybe Yashav Mishalel says it said on the Ben Ishchai, that he loved Eretz Yisrael and he wanted to buy Eretz Yisrael. And he used to go back and forth to Rabbi Omani, and he would send him money to buy from a place out of a carib. And to do it, this is exactly what would happen. And to go, and they even bring down, they bring a whole story here that he actually did. And when the old man's son died, he said, you should know, this in this place, it's called Kuvav El Janiv. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, that they said, you should know, that's really Shaykh to the Reis of Chaim from Bavel. In Baghdad, it's really his, he bought it. A whole story exactly like this Shaila. Another one that I thought was really interesting. In Simon Kuf Tzadi Gimel, 193, says, Reuven, hypothetical. Reuven goes to Eretz Yisrael and he wants to go the shtatech al kivrus hatzadikim zia. He wants to go, but kivrus, and it comes out he's there over Purim, and he sends to Shimon his friend shalach manas. Shimon needs to send him back shalach manas, and he has perishvius. He has shmita fruit. Can he send him shalach manas from the shmita fruit? Why not? Or maybe no, it's usher because it looks like he's paying a chayiv. He's paying up something that he has to with the Paris Ashvias. Why? Because Reuven sent it to him, and the way of the world is, God, someone gives you shalach manas, you give back. That's the way it works. So what's interesting about this, Shaila? It says, we know that the Ben Ishchai went to Eretz Yisrael in the year Tofresh Chavtez, and Tofresh Chavtez was the first year of Shemitah. It was the year after that the Paris. Now it says it happens to be that the Ben Ishchai ended up only getting to Eretz Yisrael on Nisan, so after Purim. But the way his brain was working, the Ben Ishchai was already busy with hypotheticals, and he was saying, oh, what's going to happen if I end up in Eretz Yisrael this time? And this is the case happens to me. Or he was just, thinking about hypotheticals. So another very, very interesting case, a very, very interesting one. There's a couple of various other ones that are interesting to note. Here as well, there's a simon. There's tons that are fascinating, but I'm just going to point a few. One is called, what about a Talmud Chacham that doesn't know Chumash or Nach, and he makes mistakes, and if someone called him a boor, and is that a problem? Because Vaza Talmud Chacham, he ends up saying it's not. In Simon Kuf Ayin Hey, I believe he talks about, if you have a new beged, should you wear it on Sukkis? When you have mitzvahs, or should you wait for Simchas Torah? For Simchas Torah, I believe he says you should do it right away. Sukkis has another in Simon Tov Beis. Says, can you call the child and name Aleph Beis? You want to name your child Aleph Beis? He says you could, by the way. And he ends up, what about the Shem Havaya, or using a Shem Hashem, or Vav, or something like that? Then he says, Can you call someone with a big nose, Bal HaChoytim, the nose, the owner of the nose? Can you do something like that? Which I thought was also very interesting. I think that's tough. Chaf Aleph. He wants to know, why do we write the Shem Hashem with the letter Hey? That's in Tav Chaf Gimel and many more. So it's very, very unique questions. There are many more. It's really fascinating. And the Avot Shalom edition is terrific. It has an extensive introduction, much more than I just brought down. It's a beautiful print, extensive footnotes, extensive index. Really, really very fascinating. And essentially what they come out clearly that it was the Ben Ishchai, I believe that is the basic proof that it was. So even though it says, because Kukli, it is. So in closing, like I said, why did he make up a chacham and attribute it to him? They're not really clear. They don't really discuss it. I said they allude to that to the Zenava, but it's not 100% clear from here. I'm sure there's much more on the topic. If anybody knows more, you know, send it over to me. This is just something I read. And in closing, if you enjoyed such a show where I hope it was thorough enough for a podcast, and if it's something that you would enjoy, let me know, and I will try to do some more of these. So on that note, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please subscribe, review on Apple, and thank you.